Oh, let's give God the glory. Let's give God the glory. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. All the time. All the time. Amen. First and foremost, I want to give honor to Pastor Pinero and Sister Pinero and Sister Michaela. Awesome, awesome leadership. And thankful that he sees down the road. And he's in tune and plugged in. Thankful for that. I give glory to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And like the songs have been saying, it's all about him. It's all about him and his kingdom. Amen. I'm thankful to be here. Anybody thankful to be here? I wasn't going to talk about this, but yesterday on the way to work, the tire blew out on the way to slow. Tire blew out. Got to get new tires. But you know what? I hit a rock and I felt it. I'm like, oh, that wasn't good. And I pulled right when I pulled into work, tire light comes up. And I go outside and hear the air coming out of the tires. And I was like, oh, okay, well, I better take care of this now. And I'm just thankful that it did blow out. You know, thankful to be here. Thankful that God has his hands upon us. He is our keeper. He knows our down sitting and our uprising. Amen. God is good. Amen. Amen. If we can go to the word of the Lord, we're going to go to John chapter 4. Very familiar passage of scripture. It's the book of John. John chapter 4, starting at verse 23. John chapter 4, starting at verse 23. And when you have it, say amen. Amen. But it says, but the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers, somebody say true worshipers. I don't know. There was a flow. It's flowing in this place already. There's some true worship going on tonight. Praise God. You can feel that river in that stream, right? True worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. Verse 24 says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen. Also in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10, it says, to the intent that now, in the previous scriptures it says, here we know what God wants us to do or what God is after, seeking true worship in spirit and in truth. And now it says, well, here's the time, the why. Before it was the what, here's the why. To the intent that now, to the intent, the purpose that now, today, and notice the word now in both scripture references, says to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places. In other words, we're serving notice here. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church. Somebody say that's me. The manifold wisdom of God. Let us pray. God, we thank you, God, for this word. We thank you for the feed, God. We thank you, Lord, for the atmosphere in this place, God, that we're able to be along for the journey, God. Help us, God. Anoint my lips, God, my lips of clay, God, for your will to be done, to get out of your way, God. Minister to your people tonight, God. Have your way and show your glory, God, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated in Jesus' name. So a question posed, so we have here what God is after, and the title tonight is, I Do It Because. Amen. And then notice the song word says, you know, I give God glory because of who he is. He is worthy of it all, amen? Amen. So the word of the Lord says, and so question posed is, what pleases God? What pleases God? And in Psalm 147, verse 1, it says, in Psalm 147 and 1, it says, praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God. For it is pleasant and praise is comely. And the Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, in those that hope in his mercy. That's verse 11. The Lord taketh pleasure. So here we have in John chapter 4, verse 23, the hour comes, now is, today is the day of salvation. The Father seeking. Here we have the Father as a seeker. And then here we have God taking pleasure in those that fear him. And that's you and I. Amen? The Lord takes pleasure in them that fears him, in them that fear him, in those that hope in his mercy. God is going to give us hope tonight. He's going to encourage us. He's going to do some heart surgery tonight. Amen. And we can hang on to our hope. And so there's just something about praise that even though when all we got to do and all we can do is hold on to our hope and hope in his mercy, praise is comely. Praise is beautiful. That's what the word comely means, is beautiful. Praise is beautiful. Praise is good. Praise is beautiful. Praise is good. Praise, like the songwriter says, is what I do. And I do it because I praise because he's good. And because of who he is. He is high and lifted up. Amen. Psalm 150, we have our charge. And this is how the book of Psalms ends. This is with Psalm 150. It says, praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with the stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high-sounding cymbals. That's a whole lot of praise.
Amen.
Amen. Verse 6 says, okay, well, what must I do to be qualified to be a praiser? Here we got our answer. It says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Amen. That's me. Somebody say that's me.
That's me.
I'm qualified to be a praiser. Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. I'm qualified to be a praiser. Thankful for praisers. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, starting at verse 15, here we have some tremendous insight. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 15, and it says, and he said, hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, For the battle is not yours. It's not my battle. I know about you. Some of us are going through battles. I'm going through battles. Some of us are going through battles. But I'm not going to glorify the battle. Amen. God has a plan and a purpose for every step of our journey. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful for that. So the verse says here, for the battle is the Lord's. And it was not yours, but God's. Amen. You shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still. In verse 17, it says, you shall not need to fight this battle. Stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord. So that verse is telling me that my praise is a key to victory. My praise is a key to victory.
Amen.
Because the battle is the Lord's. I don't know what we're facing. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what your situation and circumstance is. I don't know what the enemy's report is that is coming against you is. I don't know all what the voices are telling you, but the battle is the Lord's. Unless we forget, he's never lost a battle. Amen? He's never lost a battle. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 22, it says, in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 22, it says, and when they began to sing praise, to sing and to praise. So here we got the weapons of our warfare. Hallelujah. This is the weapons of our warfare. And this time it's high time. It's high time, right? It's high time for us to be on guard. It's high time for us to be faithful and to worship because it's high time. And so that's what this tells me is there is power in my praise. And my praise is a weapon. These are the weapons of our warfare. Hallelujah. Our equipping. And so it says, and when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. I don't know about you, but that just makes me want to praise him right here and just send, Lord, send some ambushments, God, to the enemy, God, to every circumstance and situation coming against your people, God. We give you glory. We give you praise. Hallelujah, Jesus. My praise is a weapon, and there is power in my praise. There is power in my praise. In Acts chapter 16, I didn't give this to the team, but and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. If you're in a midnight hour of trying to figure out the direction or the situation or the circumstance, or if you're looking or seeking for answers, if you're seeking for a breakthrough, if you're seeking for that which you're, that promise that has been preached about and prophesied about, here's the key, here's the answer. And at midnight. Midnight is the hour, right? It's one of the darkest hours. And it says, and at midnight, in that dark period, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. There's just something about our praise and our worship, our audible praise and worship. It is comely. And so also, and then suddenly after Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. So there's key. Here we have ingredients. Ingredients for a breakthrough. Ingredients for the windows of heaven to be opened. Ingredients for situations and circumstance. So no matter the time, no matter how long it's taken or how long you've been in that circumstance, God can break through, help you break through it. And it says here, and suddenly there was a great earthquake when Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. We know what happened next. Amen. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loose. The bands of confusion, the bands of critique, the bands of doubt, the bands of fear, the bands of misaligned expectation. Everyone's bands were loosed. And so the key ingredient here is to pray. Everybody say prayer works. Amen. And to sing praises, to thank him in advance with expectation, because what we perceive is what we receive. Amen. And so let everything that hath breath. So qualifications is let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Amen. So here we have some insights in John chapter 4, verse 23. We'll bring up our opening scripture back up because there's a little bit more depth here. There's just a well of insights and just tremendous revelation. And so we know that God is a seeker seeking to show himself strong on our behalf. He is the Alpha. And so we're talking about God, the Alpha and the Omega, the true God, the living God, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. He's in me. He's in you. This is the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God. The Alpha, the Omega. He who transcends time. Omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. Amen. He is a seeker. God, almighty, whose ways are higher than our ways and thoughts are higher than our thoughts, is a seeker. He's a seeker. And that's why we're made in his image. So what does God seek? Is a question posed here. Is what does God seek? The answer is, but now the hour come and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Amen? Amen. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. He's not what he doesn't have a big belly like Buddha. He's not just sitting there. He is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so here we have true worshipers. That's what God is after, true worshipers. And so the word true there, so we go back to John chapter 4, verse 23. It says true worshipers. The word true there is alethinos. And that word means that which is real, that which is true, that which is genuine, that which is not fake, that which is opposite to fictitious, counterfeit, imaginary, simulated, or pretended. In other words, God doesn't want pretension. He doesn't want us to be pretentious. But when we come to these altars recognizing who he is high and lifted up. He is worthy of it all. Amen. Then we worship him. So the key point here is true worshipers are sincere. Amen. The word spirit there, in spirit and in truth, is another word. It means, the word is pneuma. Pneuma. And that means to worship with one's soul. To worship with the depths of my soul. That is why we can say, like, the psalmist in Psalm 103 verse 1, we can say Psalm 103 verse 1, it says, bless the Lord, O my soul. That is to worship the Lord in spirit with my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. That's why there also says in the Bible, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. So there's something about my soul, my body, my spirit, my mind. I'm a creation. I'm wonderfully made. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. So when God breathes spirit into us, he brings a place, a dwelling place for him, for our soul to connect with him. It is a connection point to what God wants to do. So when you're aligned in the place of praise and worship, you're aligned to God to speak through you. And that's why he wants incense, because it sends notice to the powers, the principalities and the powers that be, that says, these are the mighty acts of God. These are the wonderful works of God, and everything else serves notice. Everything else takes notice of what is happening. So bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name, because my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. And so that's the word spirit, pneuma. And in spirit and in truth, which is another word, in addition to true worshipers, this is truth, which is aletheia. It means open and honest. And this is how we need to approach God, amen? Amen. He knows when we're coming and we're approaching open and honest with nothing withholding. And so open and honest, that word aletheia means with candor of mind, which is free from pretense, simulation, repetition. Oh, hallelujah. Yeah. It feels so good to be in a church, in a true church, the church of the living God. I don't know about you. Yeah. It feels so good. It feels so good where there's no pretense. There's no falsehood, deceit. It means honest, with candor of mind. It's not fake. And the word aletheia also means in the greatest latitude. So in other words, from the north to the south, I'm going to praise.
That's right.
From the north to the south. In Psalms 34, verses 1 through 3 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt his name together. Amen. Say together. Amen. Hallelujah. So praise is only the beginning. Praise is only the beginning. Praise is only the beginning. I praise and I worship. I do it because he's worthy. I do it because he's good. I do it because his love is unfailing. His goodness is unchanging. His greatness is unchanging. His love is unfailing. His strength is sustaining. His grace sufficient. I do it because he's never failed. I praise, I worship. I do it because he's never failed. And he always keeps his word.
Amen.
Praise is about admiration. And that's the first ingredient. Worship is about adoration or deep love. This is the deep calling unto the deep. This is the opening and the entering in. Praise is about admiration. Worship is about adoration and deep connection with knowing who you're worshiping and why. And so, like the psalmist, I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. I do it because it is written in Deuteronomy 6, 4, and 5. I didn't give this to the team, but I do it because it is written. I praise and I worship because it is written, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, the depths of my soul, my spirit, my mentality, my breath, my mindset, my attitude, beyond my expectations and my feelings, because they're evangelists for unbelief. I got to worship and praise God and trust in him.
Amen.
And I worship because he's faithful, and I do it because it's worship, and I do it because, like the woman at the well, I was seeking for things that could not satisfy. And then I heard my Savior speaking, Draw from the well, my well that shall never run dry. I praise and I worship because I, like the songwriter, Lord, fill my cup, Lord. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. I lift up my praise and my worship and my life. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up, and make me whole. And that's the deep, that's the depth of worship. So that song, as an example, is a depth of worship. It's a depth of praise and worship to the Lord because of who he is. And so there's also something about worship. There is unity in worship. And so there's something else happens when we all worship together. We praise and we worship together. Because worship unites all. Not just man and woman and child or the church in one accord, but all of his hosts. This is a revelation. But all of his hosts, he is the Lord of hosts. That's not just you and I. That's not just the angels and his hosts. But that's all of creation, because Psalm 19, verse 1 says, The heavens declare the glory of God. The heavens declare the glory of God. And the firmament shows his handiwork. That's all of his hosts. So I do it because he is worthy of my praise. He is worthy of my worship. He is worthy of it all. Amen? Amen. Lord, you are worthy of it all. Let's give him praise. Let's worship the Lord. Why don't we take some time to do that? Lord, we give you glory. Lord, hallelujah. Lord, you are worthy to be praised. Lord, from the east to the west, God. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, God. Oh, bless the Lord, oh, my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Hallelujah, Jesus. I do it because he is worthy of my praise. He is worthy of my worship. He is worthy of it all.
Amen.
Lord, you are worthy of it all. So for from him are all things.
Right.
Like the songwriter says, for from him are all things, and to him are all things. And there's a depth where we obviously understand praise and worship tonight and in this place, because the atmosphere created for the atmosphere for him to usher in was beautiful, and the river's flowing, and there's just great things happening, and God's doing a work, and he's just doing it, and that's the entry gate, and we're going beyond the entry gate. And so that's praise and worship, and we understand that. We understand that. But there's another depth to praise and worship, which is what we do with our life, what we do day in and day out, what we do outside of these walls, what we do, that is incense. So when it says, for from you are all things and to you are all things, he deserves the glory. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. So that is another depth of worship, which is what we do, not here. What we do when we're on our job, what we do when, as a father, a mother, a son, a daughter, a brother, a coworker, a supervisor, a student, a teacher, a business owner, an entrepreneur, an innovator, whatever it may be. We do it because it's incense. Amen? And so we do it to give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. The glory due unto his name. We do it because we worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. So I do it because it's worship. I hold to standards, or I try to hold to standards, or I try to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness because it's worship. It's worship. That's why I do it. That's why I align myself, or we try to align ourselves for the promises of God to be ushered in, because it's worship. And if that's what he's seeking, I need to be aligned. And so worship is the dress rehearsal for heaven. It's what we're going to be doing in heaven. We're going to be praising and worshiping God for bringing us through the fire and the stream. Amen. The fire and the flood. Worship is the dress rehearsal for heaven. So we might as well get started now, because it's the dress rehearsal. Worship is the dress rehearsal. There's going to be a whole lot of worshiping in heaven. And so our worship, there's also something very interesting about our worship, is that our worship reaches heaven. Worship reaches heaven and it touches the throne of God. Worship reaches heaven and it touches the throne of God. And these are weapons, and I think about it, you think about it more and more, praise and worship, these are weapons of our warfare. These are weapons of our warfare, and the casting down of imaginations, the strongholds, and breakthrough. So we can touch the heart and mind of God. Worship, through praise and worship, we can touch the heart and mind of God. Not just through prayer and supplication and petition, but we can actually, no matter what our need is tonight, whatever our need is, whatever our expectations are, God, we know you're on time, it's delayed. I know it's not denied, it's delayed, but you know, whatever that means for each of you or for you and I, God keeps his promises. And so worship allows us to touch him. It touches the heart and mind of God, so he can be touched. So in Hebrews chapter 4, we get clarity into that wonderful revelation, that wonderful truth that God cares. The reason this is brought up is because God wants you to know he cares. He cares where you're at. He cares where I'm at. He knows where we're at. He's acquainted with all of our ways. He's acquainted with our circumstance. He is acquainted when we're, you know, when we're in situations. So we got the Monday, what is it, Pastor? The Tuesday pile. By Wednesday, we're all out, right? But we loaded. We're here. We're ready to go. We're ready to go and keep, be faithful and be watchful and faithful and praise and worship and walk in dominion. So we do that because he knows where we're at and he cares. And so in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, it says, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. So he can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He knows exactly where you're at. He knows if you're struggling. He knows if you're on the mountaintop. He knows if you're in the valley. He knows if you have affliction in your body. He knows if you're in a tough situation or you need a breakthrough or you're, you know, you need something to happen today, because if it doesn't, things are going to go haywire tomorrow. He knows that. So he can be touched with that. He can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. So why wouldn't we want to cast our burden down and put it at his feet? If he can be touched by it, we cast it. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13, it says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. All things are naked and open unto him. He's acquainted with all of our ways. And so the next verse, verse 16, it says, let us therefore, now that we know that, the door is wide open. for our prayer, petition, praise, and worship. God says, I know why you're struggling, or I know what's going on. I can be touched by the feelings of your infirmities. And all things are naked and open. Let us therefore come boldly. So we have an open invitation to come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace, unmerited favor. You can't earn it. You can't earn it. It's unmerited favor, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. And so quickly, I invite you, I didn't give this to the media team, but in the book of Job, so here's something that I cannot overlook tonight. This is my assignment tonight. Job, in the book of Job, you'll notice in Job chapter 1, here we have a very unique situation. And we're all familiar with the story of Job, a man that skewed evil, amen?
Amen.
And so in Job chapter 1, we can read this account here of Satan's first attack and the righteousness and wealth of Job. And so there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, starting at verse 6. And Satan came also among them, the enemy, the devourer, the thief, he who comes with great wrath. Don't be surprised when circumstance and situation come, because you are beloved by God and he hates everything about us. He hates everything about us. He hates everything about us. And here's some deeper revelation as to how important that is. And it says, and the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, taking my dominion, and from walking up and down in it, doing what I do as Satan. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Hast thou considered my servant Job? In other words, have you taken notice that there is a place where you don't have dominion?
Amen.
There is a place in your heart, in his heart, in his mind, a perfect heart, somebody that eschews evil. There is a place in each of us where Satan does not have dominion. That is why the enemy comes in like a flood, but the Lord raises up a standard against him. Is because Job feared God, and it was a place where Satan did not have dominion. So he's after that gap. He's after our worship. The enemy is after our worship. So that's why situation and circumstance will cause us to get depressed and down and out. Recognize, we got to recognize that that's the onslaught. And I'm going to stand. I'm going to defend my pea patch. I'm going to defend. I'm going to stand. I'm going to keep plowing, because that's an attack on my worship. And so Job's response in verse 20 says, and Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and gave us a tremendous key when the flood comes in upon the ground and worshiped. Job worshiped in those circumstances and trials. Job worshiped. So Job, here we have an example, is a man in a time of need. He said, and all this Job said not, he said and said, Job worshiped and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return hither. Naked shall I return hither. The Lord gave, and the Lord had taken away, but blessed be the name of the Lord. In all of this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Amen. So here we have a insight into a man in a time of need, where the enemy attacked his worship, fueled by the absence of dominion in his heart, a place where his kingdom found no reign. The only thing we can take with us in this life is our worship. That's why we got to say, Lord, make my life a life of worship. Make my life a life of incense. Because it's worship. It's eternal. It transcends. It reaches heaven. It touches the throne of God. And so that's why in Job 33 and 4, it says, the Spirit of God hath made me, and the breath of the Almighty hath given me life. A life to live, a life not my own. A life not my own. It's not mine. My life is worship. Every single thing we do, in the car, everything, is worship, praise, and worship. I'm going to help this person. I'm going to minister to this. I'm going to do photography, videography. It's because it's worship. I'm going to help somebody look good and have a dry cleaning business because it's worship. I'm going to help somebody manage their finances because it's worship. I'm going to help people connect to human resources and hire teams and take dominion and inheritance over the Central Coast because it's worship. It's worship. I'm going to be the best student I can be in this new year because it's worship. Amen. And so in Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and 10, it says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. In Ecclesiastes 9 and 10, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. And so live with no regrets. Walk the faith walk, live the faith life with no regrets. Because your life, my life is worship. And all that I am and all that I do, that's worship. So the next time somebody asks you, why do you do this or that? It's worship. The next time somebody says, hey, you come to work with a smile on your face, you bring a positive atmosphere, it's because it's worship. It's praise and worship to my God. And in fact, you want to know more? Let me tell you about my Jesus. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Let me tell you about my Jesus. And so whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. If the enemy can take away our identity, our praise, and our worship, he can immobilize us and keep us from walking in dominion. Yeah. Amen. And so praise gets God's attention. Worship is the key to breakthrough. Worship is the key to the breaking the box. And my, oh my, I'm so thankful for a church that's plugged in. Sister Tori set it up. You got to plug in. This is worship, and you got to pour out the oil. And so worship is the key to breakthrough. So it wasn't just the breakthrough for Job. It was also the breakthrough for the woman with the alabaster box of ointment. Because when she worshiped, she poured out and touched his feet. She anointed his feet and everything changed. Everything changed. And so for her and for us, if we grasp tonight, that I don't care if it looks foolish. I don't care if I have to cry out. I don't care if I have to crawl with an alabaster box. If that's all I have, if it's 3 pence, if it's $300,000, it doesn't matter. I bring it to his feet. I don't care if it is foolish. I worship much and I love much because much was forgiven. We're not worthy, but he is worthy of it all. Amen. Please stand, and as the musicians, please come. And so tonight we have weapons of our warfare. Praise and worship. Prayer. Let's not forget prayer. Praise and worship. Praise and worship. The weapons of our warfare. Praise gets God's attention. And so praise is the opening of the door. So the Bible says, enter into his courts with praise, right? And thanksgiving. Amen. Enter into his courts with praise and thanksgiving. That is the pattern. And so that's the opening, but worship brings us to a whole nother level. It says, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. Not my will, but thy will be done. Lord, I seek first the kingdom. Lord, I seek your face, God. I want to connect with you, Lord. Manifest your will in my life, God. Take authority, Lord, and dominion in my life. And I'll tell you, that's what got me home. You know, I'll give you my testimony. I don't have time tonight, but I was like the prodigal. And so, you know, it was praise and worship and total submission well before coming home that truly paved the way. It was coming in here and finding Elder Woosley, your brother Tony, in here saying, what are you doing? How are you doing? They didn't judge me. They didn't criticize me. I came home. They were here with open arms. And I would have an intercessory prayer session with just me and Jesus. But that paved the way. That paved the way for me to come home. So if you want to know Lord, I want to be in that place of total submission, of praise and worship. What do I need to get there? What do I need to do this to get there? And like Jesus Christ himself said, to this end was I born, and for this cause came I into this world. For this cause came I into this world, to praise and worship, to give myself as a living sacrifice, which is my reasonable service.